Alzheimer's disease brings with it a double challenge. One challenge is caring for the person afflicted with Alzheimer's, while the second, for medical science specifically, is discovering the causes, and creating paths to either treat or better manage Alzheimer's. Joining us now is the head of a New Jersey organization focused on answering those challenges, as well as empowering the caregivers for those who have been trapped by this disease. There are many challenges for those people as well. He is the president of Alzheimer's New Jersey. Ken Zance, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
And learn more about the work of Alzheimer's New Jersey. More importantly, if you are in need of services and knowledge, there's certainly a resource for that, and they are always in the need of people power for their special events and programs, alznj.org. Just as a basic for the layperson, Ken, is there a difference or similarity between Alzheimer's and dementia?
So dementia is the umbrella term that describes a number of conditions where changes in the brain are affecting behavior, you know, memory changes that affect behavior. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia. So Alzheimer's is a type of dementia, and then there are, you know, a number of other types of dementia.
And in New Jersey, how common is Alzheimer's?
So in New Jersey, there are about 180,000 people with Alzheimer's disease. If you add to that the caregivers of those people with the disease, we're probably talking about over 600,000 people in our state that are impacted by Alzheimer's. So it's pretty significant.
Yeah, as I say, at least that ratio also brings to the forefront, too, that caregivers for Alzheimer's, it's a plural for a reason, because there are a lot of difficulties and challenges.
Exactly. It is definitely a disease that affects not only the primary caregiver, but the entire family. So, for example, last year in 2017, you know, we commissioned Fairleigh Dickinson University to do a telephone poll of New Jersey residents, and the results showed that 29% of the respondents said that they were at that time or had been in the past a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. And then of that number, 85% said that caregiving impacted their emotional health. It can be, you know, there a lot of stress in caring for someone with Alzheimer's. 51% of those said that they spent over 20 hours per week on caregiving responsibilities. 60% said that being a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's affected their physical health. So, you know, you can clearly see the impact of the disease. And then it has an impact on, you know, on family members that you might not ordinarily think about. So, for example, the millennial generation. We know that millennials more and more are finding themselves in the role of being a caregiver. And while they're trying to start their career, start young families, and yet, according to a national study done by Us Against Alzheimer's, which is a national organization focused on, you know, Alzheimer's disease issues, 42% of millennials said that they were, you know, a sole caregiver for, you know, for a family member with the disease. So it, as I said, the effect is and the impact is huge.
Emotionally as well as economically, too, but obviously you don't put price on at the forefront ahead of the care of someone that you love. But it's got to be challenging, too, because, odd analogy time, unlike when you lose someone through a unexpected car accident, with Alzheimer's, it's a slow, drawn-out procedure that could go on for years.
Right. Well, and caregivers often talk about the fact that, you know, they lose their loved one twice with Alzheimer's disease. You know, they lose their loved one when their loved one can no longer remember who they are. And then eventually, because this is a terminal illness, they lose their loved one because they pass away from Alzheimer's disease. So you're exactly right. It can be extremely stressful and certainly devastating on so many different levels for family members.
I'm with Ken Zients, who is the president of Alzheimer's New Jersey. ALZNJ.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as for the caretakers, information, knowledge, that's empowerment, to say the least, and also knowing that you're not in your situation on a desert island alone, it's certainly an empowering asset as well. What does Alzheimer's New Jersey do to help out the caretakers?
Sure. So we have a telephone helpline. Caregivers can call us for information about the disease, if they need to talk through an issue, if they're having a challenge. So that's certainly one resource. We also do a lot of community education. Caregivers often tell us that if they just understood the disease a little bit more, if they understood why their loved one was doing what they were doing, and they could get some practical tips for managing things like challenging behaviors or managing the changes in communication that often occur when the person with Alzheimer's, starts to lose their ability to communicate verbally, then they feel, and understandably so, like they would be more prepared and could be more effective in what is a very difficult responsibility. So we provide a lot of community education programs. We also coordinate support groups. Support groups can be a wonderful place for caregivers to connect with each other. So not only is it the ability that people traditionally think of when they think of support groups of just sort of coming together and sharing what you're going through, but it's also the ability of people who are going through something similar to connect. You know, a lot of times with Alzheimer's disease or any long-term illness, caregivers become very isolated. Sometimes your friends start to disappear, not because they don't care, but because over the course of time, they don't know what to do. So sometimes as human beings, I think when we don't know what to do, sometimes we don't do anything. And so we stop calling. You know, the person can't socialize anymore because they have these caregiving responsibilities. So being a caregiver can often become very isolating, and having a support group network where you can connect with people and really kind of make friends with people who are going through the same thing, share experience, share resources, that becomes really vital. We also have a respite care and wellness program. The respite care and wellness program teaches caregivers about the value of taking care of themselves, letting caregivers understand that if they don't get a break or if they don't find a way to get a break, that they may be the ones to suffer from a stress-related illness. And so teaching caregivers that's important, explaining resources that are available, you know, to find that little bit of respite, and then providing some financial assistance through the generosity of our donors so that caregivers can at least sample the benefits of respite in their own community. So that's that's another program that we provide.
And certainly for the caregiver, the caregiver's family and friends, everything for the caregiver is magnified for, just pure emotional reasons. So something really as simple as sending a positive graphic to that caregiver's Facebook page that they'll wind up seeing, because that might be their only activity other than taking care of the loved one, is going on social media and trying to keep some sort of connection with people. Just sending a positive, bright, happy message that way. It could be a little act like that, but for the caregiver who's got a ton of weight on them, that could be a great relief.
Sure. Oh, and sometimes it's as simple as, I'll pick up the milk and coffee for you once a week. I mean, so that you don't have to worry about it. It can be very simple things, but we also tell caregivers, to be fair on their side, that, sometimes people will say, well, how can I help? And our tendency is to say, oh, no, I'm fine. But you shouldn't do that. Like, don't, if you need help, ask for help. This can be, there's no shame in that. It is a very difficult disease to manage, and it certainly takes more than one caregiver to provide care for a person with Alzheimer's. So don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to ask for the little things that can really make a difference. And if you're the friend or another family member, you know, make sure that you ask, because it doesn't, as you said, it can be something really simple that can just make all the difference and provide some level of relief for the caregiver.
I'm here with time with Ken Zanes, who is the president of Alzheimer's New Jersey. ALZNJ.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I know you have annual walks coming up this fall, and you have a whole network of programs and volunteer efforts, things like that. So how important is people power? How can people become a service and an assistance in all the work that your organization does?
Well, people power is really important, whether it's helping to raise awareness about the disease, whether it's getting involved with us on an advocacy level to, you know, to help move some legislation through the, you know, the New Jersey legislature that can be beneficial to people with the disease. It's getting involved, you know, with our walk, or serving on, you know, on other committees. We have 5 walks this year that run from September, from mid-September through the end of October. And, you know, those walks are really important in terms of not only raising awareness about the disease and about the needs and impact of Alzheimer's disease in our state, but quite frankly, you know, helping to raise the funds that, you know, that help us provide those programs that I talked about earlier. You know, we're an organization that, you know, we're almost completely dependent on charitable contributions. So getting involved in that way, you know, really makes a difference. And for people who get involved with our walks, because we are an organization that is completely focused on people in New Jersey, 100% of the dollars that we raise, you know, support people with people in New Jersey, families who are impacted by this disease, so people can, you know, take confidence in that fact.
And to find out more about the events, the fall walks, which you sound say fall right now, but it's not that far off. I see back to school stuff already popping up in some stores, so it's like it's just around the corner. The faster that you step forward to say I'd like to help, the faster that these events will be solidified and be the effective answer to all that the organization needs. Visit ALZNJ.org. That's a website for Alzheimer's New Jersey. If you are a caregiver, if you are in those early stages of Alzheimer's yourself, it is, again, a tremendous resource for knowledge, education, information, relief, and the assistance that you do not need to be too proud to ask for, because that is what the organization is here for. Alzheimer's New Jersey, ALZNJ.org. We've been joined by the president, Ken Zanes. Ken, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, Chris, thank you. I was happy to be a guest today, so thank you so much.